Man, that was an incredible worship set this morning. And I was just sort of thinking towards the end of something like, you know, deeply profound, well, that David said, I didn't say it, you know, King David said this, and he had an opportunity to get something for free that was going to be that he was going to then turn and devote to the Lord. And he said, you know, I don't want to receive this from free. I can't give God an offering that costs me nothing. I can't do that. And sometimes in praise and worship and an expression of generosity, whatever it is, there actually is a cost to engaging with him, engaging with giving him worship. It says to bring a sacrifice of praise, doesn't it? Because sometimes we just don't feel like it. And we live in a time in this world when, you know, feelings, it's all about how we feel, right? If we feel it, we do it. If we feel it, we think it. Well, we don't, but, you know, that's what they say, you know. And so, you know, we're setting a standard here when we come into church, regardless of how we feel. Now, like, disclaimer is we're empathetic. If you're having a really bad time in your life, it's, you know, that's tough. But we want to encourage you to engage with the King of Kings, regardless of this space, because this is what we do. We bring that sacrifice of praise week after week, and we let him inhabit the praises that we bring to him. And when he inhabits, he takes a seat, which means to take, you know, it's actually a throne that he is enthroned in our lives when we bring praise to him. So it gives him, you know, room to move in our lives when we praise him. Anyway, that's not my message. I was just, and that's it, guys. No, welcome, and it's wonderful to have everyone in the room today, and if you're new or visiting, it's so good to have you along, and we hope that you experience the Thrive hug. Not that everyone is going to come and hug you, because that could be weird, but we just really love this church and this church family, and our heart is that you would be embraced into a place of belonging and experience the goodness of God and family. Hey, that's so much what church is about. And today we are celebrating Resurrection Life, Resurrection Sunday. And I just want to, I've got a word for you today. If you've got your Bibles, jump into Luke chapter 7. I'm sure we'll have it on the screen behind me as well. And We'll just go for it. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from that town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." It's interesting, it says, when the Lord saw her. Not just Jesus, the Lord. When the Lord saw her. And then he went up and he touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. It's probably like, "Whoa, I'm back, everybody." It's great to be here. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praise God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. You know, there's three accounts in the Gospels of Jesus raising dead people back to life. And this is one of them. That doesn't include himself. He was resurrected from the dead. He raised three people back to life. There were two processions and they collided in this moment. We were up at Cape Reinga probably about 3 years ago, and we walked right out to the lighthouse there. And actually, what you'll see there is actually a convergence of two oceans meeting, where the Tasman Sea meets the Pacific Ocean, and when these oceans meet, there's actually a great disturbance in the water. And maybe that was just a super calm, still day, but you can still see this ocean, this Pacific Ocean, this larger ocean coming in and actually making waves into the Tasman Sea as these currents intersect. And this account that of Jesus that I'm talking about today is really about two worlds colliding. Jesus is on his way to a town called Nain. He's wearing his, you know, his dusty sandals. He's got his disciples by his side. There's a large crowd of extras following on beside him as well. And there's probably shofars blowing. There's camels cameling. And there's just like this procession that is going somewhere. And you could liken this current, this current to like a river of life that Jesus promised to actually to release when we met him. And he's in this momentum of hope. This band of hope moving with momentum towards this town. And then in the other direction, traveling the other way, coming out of Nain, there's another procession. There's another type of momentum. There's a momentum, a funeral momentum. And there's at the heart of this other movement is this grieving mother and her dead son, a widow. And this widow, she was a widow because she had already lost her husband, and now she had lost her only son. And at that time, a widow would become completely vulnerable because there was no social welfare system, and she would rely on that point for other men to look after her. And so she's dealing with the loss of her son. She's dealing with a bleak-looking future. And there's this incredible convergence of two movements, two journeys, two worldviews, two different experiences, and they collide. And Jesus turns everything around, and he shifts an atmosphere. He shifts the spirit of death. He interrupted the way that she thought things were going to go. There's this great interruption here, and I'm sure that if there was a wedding procession coming out of town, Jesus would have been like, "You go, you good things. You know, this is great celebration. I'm not going to interrupt that. That's wonderful. It's life. It's awesome." But pure love, you've got to understand Jesus, all right? Pure love will interrupt. Pure love will interrupt with what interferes, intrudes, and corrupts anything that is in the river of living water. You know, I want to just tell someone today that Jesus was not a passive hippie. He's not come to just, you know, put you in a box. Or he's not even come to just tolerate the box that we might be living in. He came to engage with us. This is the great message of the gospel. And when we talk about engaging with Jesus, we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords meeting us where we're at. We're talking about Jesus wanting to actually engage with us during the tough times. And in those times, sometimes we, you know, when you're relating with someone who's going through something difficult, as Jesus probably relates with us when we're going through something difficult, right? He doesn't just say, you know, get over it, join us. He's like, oh, no, I want to engage with where you're at, right? We would use that point, we would use either two words at that point of like when we're engaging with someone who's struggling. We'd either use the word sympathy or we'd use the word empathy. And we kind of use them interchangeably. And I just want to bring a little bit of distinction around those words. And we're going to land on one because it's really important in the way that Jesus has engaged with humanity. You know, firstly, when a person is sympathetic, they tend to look upon someone with pity. And they may give some advice, oh, you poor, poor bunny. I know, you know, when I have man flu, occasionally, Brené Brown, she describes sympathy as a way to stay out of touch with our own emotions and make our connections transactional. Sympathy, it accesses a situation using a seat of judgment rather than taking a posture of engagement and understanding. Sympathy doesn't take a step beyond a feeling of pity with a shot of relief that we're not experiencing the same problems. The dictionary describes empathy this way: the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another. That sounds exhausting. But that's what empathy is at times. Empathy is not easy. It actually requires a tremendous amount of vulnerability to listen without judgment and see yourself in someone else's struggle. And sometimes empathy calls us actually to look in the mirror of our own emotions. And so through empathy, we're actually drawn into a journey of connection so we can ultimately understand the needs of the person that we are displaying empathy towards. So Jesus is living empathy in its purest form. And today is Resurrection Sunday. It's a day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who came to earth, who interrupted our wandering, who interrupted our procession towards a lost eternity. Without him, we're on our own way. But Jesus came in as this great shepherd to shepherd our lives. And he gives us this invitation today to join the procession of life. And I want to break open the scripture this morning and we'll just look at this, at his incredible intentionality to not distance himself from us, but to connect with us. You know, this is Jesus, Philippians 2, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Firstly, Jesus was approachable. This was God arriving on earth as a baby. He was accessible and he was vulnerable. He had to become a teenager. He had to deal with puberty. He may have had pimples. He had siblings. Maybe there was sibling rivalry. He was probably always the peacemaker. He had to use the bathroom. He endured temptation. He suffered persecution. He was ultimately vulnerable to violence, and violence took his life. Jesus came to earth, God to earth, and he placed himself right in the center of our pain. He gets it. We're going to see that he gets it. Hebrews 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He's able. He's able to empathize. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So this is really opening the door to the fact that Jesus had a fully immersive human experience. He went as God so far to choose to be identified as one of us. And that's how he empathizes with us. We're gonna look at a few things. He was rejected by loved ones. He was rejected by society. He was rejected by religious leaders of the day. He was called an illegitimate son. The religious leaders didn't even believe in his conception. He knows what it is to feel rejected. Hebrews 2, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus became a part of creation to suffer and to fight for those who are being tempted. And he's not easily letting go of you today. You know, that the devil took him into the wilderness and he tempted Jesus in every single way. And Jesus said, it is written. He knows what it is to be tempted by the author of lies. In the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he's facing the cross. Jesus knew the resurrection was coming, but he still wanted to avoid the dying part. And in this moment, we see that Jesus is praying for a miracle that he never actually received. He says, if it's possible, please take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done. And the Father says, no, this cup is not passing from you, but my grace is sufficient for you. This was Jesus in the fullness of his humanity right here as well, as being fully God, obviously. Even Jesus understands how it feels to ask the Father for something and get a no. After Jesus had been on trial, this is after that garden experience of Gethsemane, he's sentenced, then he's whipped, and he's beaten, and the cross is laid on his back, and he is struggling on the way to Golgotha, where he's going to be crucified. You've got to think of this massive, heavy piece of wood on his back. He became so weak that he was unable to carry his cross. He endured this feeling of being physically powerless. A guy called Peter from the crowd, watching Jesus walking by, suddenly a Roman pulls him into Jesus' world. And then next minute, this guy is carrying the cross that Jesus had been carrying. And this is interesting, as I was looking at this and remembering, I think, a devotional years ago, that the burden of Jesus' decision to embrace the Father's will also impacted an innocent bystander. Jesus empathizes with us when people that we love, know, don't know, or, you know, are in our family are actually impacted by our decision to take up our cross and follow him. He gets it. And on the cross, Jesus cries out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt the absence of the Father's presence. You know, where every other religion in the world uses fear as its dominant emotion, God reveals his extravagant kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 says, just at the right time, Christ died for you. It actually says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. He wasn't waiting for any of us to sort it all out first. He was like, actually, right in the middle of your pain and your mess, I'm laying my life down for you. He is the perfect picture of God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He is full of grace and truth. He is the living word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is Jesus. You know, we can't comprehend the fact that Jesus wasn't 50-50. He wasn't 50% man, 50% God. He was 100%. 100% God. He was 100% man. He chose to be with us. He chose to become fully human. He chose to remain fully God and embrace the human experience. Hebrews 1 says this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You know, the life of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus actually confront humanity with a famous trilemma, I think, that was made, was actually made famous by C.S. Lewis, that, and the trilemma says this, as you look at the life of Jesus and the claims of Jesus, that he could only ever be one of these three things. He's either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And C.S. Lewis went on to say, let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You know, on Good Friday, there was Jesus hanging on the cross, and no one wanted to look at him. The religious law enforcers, they thought they had killed Jesus. The devil thought he had won. The disciples had left him. Friday looked like a complete and utter failure. But you know, some of our most successful moments are often deeply connected to lonely obedience, when only heaven is watching us. And the Father was looking at Jesus in utter celebration. This was the most successful thing he had ever done, and he did it in isolation. And this is one of the amazing reasons why he did it in Hebrews 2. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives had been held in slavery by their fear of death. 2 Timothy 1, he has broken the power of death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know, if you're in here today and you're weighing up, is Jesus, is this just like the Father Christmas thing? Could resurrection life be true? I could take some of the Bible, but I can't. I don't know if I've got I don't have the faith to embrace this. The challenge with that is that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't the sideshow. It is the main event in the Bible. That through his death, that he would break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. That's a big deal. Jesus broke the chains and he freed captives from fear. And because of Christ's resurrection, there is now an invitation for us to join him in the procession of life, in this procession of goodness. And Jesus that day, he empathized with the widow, but he did not leave her with a funeral to attend. He came and he met her and he changed her circumstances. And maybe today God wants to interrupt someone's procession here. I love this passage in Matthew 11 from the Message translation. This is, I believe, a beautiful expression of the empathy that Jesus carries for his children. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. What an invitation. What an invitation we have from Jesus today in a world where there are so many options for us to run to hide to distract ourselves from, you know, whether it's holidays or whatever your escape is. And sometimes it's good to have those moments as well. But I want to just remind someone today that the ultimate escape is Jesus Christ. He's the one to come to. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And he says, come to me, all who are feeling weary, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you a workout. No. He said, I'll give you 20 scriptures to read, and then, no. No, he doesn't say that either. He says, come and serve at church, and no. He doesn't have the prerequisites for you people. He just says, come to me, and I will give you rest. This is the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the person of Jesus Christ that we come to. We certainly discover him in his word, but we come to him as a person, and he comes to us as a person. So right now, I just want you to just lay aside all of the reasons that you might just be, I mean, tired and burnt out on religion for a start. That's how it goes, right? And firstly, just come to Jesus in the purity of his goodness for you. This morning, I just wonder if you just stand just right now. I just want to, we're just about to conclude. And I just want to, you know, for you to imagine this procession of life. Maybe close your eyes right now. Just imagine Jesus leading this procession of life coming towards you. He's just coming towards you. And he's coming towards you with expectancy, with hope, with faith, and love. And you're coming in the other direction. Maybe you're coming in the other direction. Or maybe you're in that procession of life. But if you feel like you're coming in the other direction today, he wants to meet you. He wants to meet you firstly. I just want to ask you this thing: what procession are you in at this time? And this is not a condemnation thing at all. This is just that this is my reality thing. Maybe you're not in a funeral, but maybe you're in a procession of shame, in a procession of loneliness, in a procession of rejection, a procession of fear, or disconnection. And does Jesus need to interrupt the procession you're in today? Just ask him. Just ask the Holy Spirit now. And if Jesus was to interrupt you and look at what you've been carrying, looking at what, why you're in this procession, what burden would he see that you've been carrying? Just ask the Holy Spirit there. What would he want to take from you? Shoulders, and he would just want to place his arm around you today. He'd want to embrace you. And say, hey, come and join my party. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I just wonder if we could have the ministry team just come to the front just right now. We just, this is a beautiful moment with the Holy Spirit right here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe today you actually haven't been anywhere near this procession of life, and you haven't known that there was a procession of life, or that there's an invitation for you to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, there is. And today there is an invitation. There's an invitation for you to step forward and to step out of the shadows and step into the arms of grace. And if there's anyone here this morning, right now, I want to give you that invitation. I want to give you that invitation to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I will follow. I've been walking my own way, but I don't want to walk my way anymore. I want to join this procession. If that's you in this place, I just want to ask everyone just to close their eyes just for a moment. If that's you in this place right now, can you just lift your hand up and say, yes, Glenn, that's me. I want to meet Jesus today. I want to meet Jesus today. Just lift your hand up nice and high. Awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anyone else today who just wants to say yes to Jesus? Awesome. I see that hand. Now, you guys know who you are. And I'm going to give another invitation shortly for others to come to the front to receive prayer. Now, you guys who responded, can you please come to the front and just join those who are responding this morning? I'd love to meet with you and pray with you. If you're here today as well and you realize that you've been, you know, you're just carrying some burdens that you want to bring to Jesus, this morning we've got an incredible team who would love to pray with you. And you could just hand your burdens. You know, sometimes you just need someone to release resurrection life over you. And I had such a sense around in worship that there were some people really struggling with condemnation. You've had words spoken against you, and it's been like a swirling around your mind, and you felt really disorientated in this place this morning. And Jesus wants to minister to you and set you free from that. Awesome. So right now, in this moment, you could respond. If that's you, if you either responded to Jesus for salvation and you lifted your hand up, you can come to the front right now. And if you want prayer, just to let some burdens go to Jesus, then just come on up right now. That'd be awesome. We're a responding church, and you can respond. This is a good moment. It's always a great moment to receive Jesus, to receive prayer, to receive His love. Like, man, the Bible says when we pray, powerful things happen. So we're going to believe for a place of encounter here this morning. Awesome. Come on up. Come on up.